Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there! Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Woohoo! It is January 5th, 2022. We're all getting younger. That's all I have to say. It is happy hour. And welcome to Big Blend Radio here with Nancy and Lisa. You know, we're the crazy mother-daughter travel team running around across the country documenting parks and public lands. And this is one of our special live broadcast series. We are celebrating 25 years of Big Blend magazines in this country, 15 years of Big Blend Radio right here on Blog Talk Radio. And 10 years of our Big Blend Love Your Parks Tour, where we document parks and public lands. So you can keep up with all of it at BigBlendMagazines.com or BigBlendRadio.com or BlendRadioAndTV.com or NationalParkTraveling.com. Who's going to write all that stuff down? It's all there. Check it out. Sign up for our newsletter to get our new digital magazines. But we're super happy. We are having a party all year long. January is pretty packed with parties because if you're going to start a new year, you might as well party. And
that's right.
We're going to be trying to do live shows as we can throughout the year. And today we have some awesome guests joining us. We're very excited. Nancy, are you ready to start the bus? Because I think Priscilla really didn't do it. And by the way, everyone, Priscilla is our pink sock monkey. She's our travel mascot. But she didn't do a good job of starting the bus.
You want me to drive?
No, I just want you to start it. And then it's a self-driving bus.
Okay, I'm going to take the 5 ounces that Priscilla didn't
have
and put it in the bus, and it'll start,
right.
I guarantee.
Okay, you start it, and then we can get going because we have guests to pick up across the country. And Priscilla is back in the kitchen. She's swinging around in the bus, getting ready to serve drinks and food. She's being a good little sock monkey mascot. So we're going to get started. We're going to go today. We are airing live from Peachtree City, Georgia, actually in the ceramist artist studio, Andrea Faye. She's an amazing ceramist artist, and she's part of the Southern Hands Artist Studio Tour. In fact, founded it, and we're here in art studio right now and in Georgia, right outside Atlanta. In fact, we're where the Walking Dead is filmed. We're in Zombieland, but it's beautiful. I know. So anyway, we're going to start. We're going to go up, since we're in Georgia. We're going to go up to, I think we're going to go to Bethesda, Maryland. Nancy, are you ready? Start the bus.
Sure, let's go. Go for it.
You didn't do it very well. All right, so I think we just arrived in Bethesda, Maryland, and that means
that
Adam Roberts is our first guest. Adam is awesome. He has been on our shows, I think, from the entire 15 years. Seriously.
I think so, too. Yeah.
Yep. We knew him from back in his wildlife conservation days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's done so much. And, in fact, we've had him on a show on a January 5th before because it's International Bird Day, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that he was part of that too, and we've done bird shows, we've done so much, but now he is the executive director of Bethesda Green in Maryland, where they're really working to keep the community sustainable and green, and also business, and it's a very exciting. I've been following him on social media, he's been on the show with it, but it's really exciting just seeing how much is going on over there. They're picking up trash in parks. They're doing composting, all kinds of stuff's going on. So welcome back, Adam. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. And thank you for making me feel old thinking about doing the show with you for so many years. My gosh.
You know,
but
done shows from CITES. You've called us from
all over the world.
Well,
you know?
I was just about to say that it's interesting. Over all those years, I think about you guys traveling the country and seeing amazing national parks and places and doing shows. And I've had the privilege of calling in from all over the world, from Ethiopia to Kuwait.
That's
So it's been a great journey we've had together, and it's nice to reconnect for your special episode. So thank you for including me.
Oh, if we have to. Are you kidding?
We have to.
Yeah.
Dude.
So where,
dude,
are you in Bethesda today, or are you, cause are you in the snow zone of Virginia, like where we got lost? We got lost in your area. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
you did.
You know, it's amazing what happened in the D.C. area this week with that snowstorm and the crippling traffic on I-95.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But as you may recall, I'm blessed to have this vacation place outside of Washington, D.C. in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, where I've got 9 acres of woods to watch my families of deer and birds and everything. And and since the pandemic hit, our office in Bethesda has been closed, and we've all moved our operation virtual, which gives me the latitude to be in nature and work from West Virginia more. So I was in Bethesda earlier today, picking up some mail and doing some banking, and now I'm back in the woods with my critters and my trees, happily soldiering on. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
awesome. It's pretty, huh? Your area is beautiful. We were in West Virginia the year before, the last 2 years, I swear, we've done majority of America except for Alaska and Hawaii and North Dakota and those really top states.
The northern
But
states.
We went to Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. We were just in West Virginia about a month ago, coming back from Pennsylvania. And it went down to 19 degrees. It started snowing, and we said, "That's it. We're going south. We're going to Florida." And I'm like, "Nancy, get in the car now." And it started snowing, raining, winding. That's my new word. And we got all of a sudden, and we just finished recording an interview on Manassas National Battlefield. And next thing you know, we are lost in Manassas at night, and going around D.C.
Oh, no.
Everything that I wasn't supposed to do happened. But we made it to as soon as we got to sunshine, and all of a sudden we could actually take a jacket off. We were like, "Thank you, thank you." It was so awesome. But listen, we got to keep this party bus going, and Priscilla's doing a good job. She's ready to serve you. What would you like?
Well, I will tell you, I'm doing my dry January with my wife and starting the new year on a healthy move. But I want to say I've been addicted to this beverage called Living Maca, M-A-K-A, and it's one of the Bethesda Green Accelerator companies from last year that was in our program where we have sustainability driven entrepreneurs, and so Living Maca is this amazing combination of wheatgrass and herbal tea and fruit juices, and so I have been completely addicted to their hibiscus passion fruit, Living Maca.
Ooh.
And so it's great. It's got caffeine and it's delicious. And because of the wheatgrass, it's healthy. So you should definitely check out livingmaca.com and they will ship it to you and you can order packs. And that's what I've been drinking. So I not only like one on the bus, but I'd like to share it with everyone there.
Cool.
Sounds like we could put it in a martini too.
I know.
But you know what? Passion fruit is one of my favorites. Like growing up in Kenya, like that was growing everywhere. Passion
exactly.
fruit.
Yeah.
And when you can get that right balance and hibiscus, that sounds perfect. Mm-hmm. So what would you like to eat? Priscilla's already got it. I mean, you know how deliveries are these days.
Oh,
they
yeah.
just, you know, land. We don't have any shipping problems at all.
Right.
But, you know, Priscilla's got her contacts. So she's getting that poured for you. What would you like to eat?
You know what? Since it's a party bus and we've got so many different people, I was thinking if we could have a taco bar where everybody can kind of make their own so we could focus on what people want and everybody can spice it up as much as they want, add as much heat, or, for myself as a vegan, I'll have mine a certain way that others may have a different way they want their tacos, but that's always fun and gives everybody a chance to build their own and enjoy it together. So if I could get a wheatgrass Living Maca drink and some vegan tacos, I'd be ready to go.
There you go. You're very healthy. I think Dr. Jackie is coming on in a little bit here too. She's gonna give you a thumbs up on this, you know, because she keeps telling us we're only allowed to have 5 ounces of wine a night, and I'm going, but it's a 1 hour show. How do we do that, Dr. Jackie?
It's a defined ounce.
I know, but I like that. Dry January is a good thing. I think we should all pick our, you know, birthday months or whatever to, you know, kind of have a nice balance. But all right, getting the bus back on the road, and we're going to Natchitoches, Louisiana. This is the oldest settlement in the state of Louisiana. It is one of our absolute favorite places.
I love this
and
place.
It's the feature story of our current issue of Parks and Travel magazine, where we listed 22 must-do experiences in the oldest settlement of Louisiana, and you must do them all in 2022. So you must get on the bus now. But let's welcome Arlene. Arlene Gold is the director of Natchitoches Convention and Visitor Bureau. How are you doing? Hey, y'all.
Hey,
Arlene,
y'all.
How are you doing?
Oh, that's our favorite song. Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Well,
welcome.
Down here in Natchitoches, we're winding up the holiday season, and now we're getting ready for Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras.
Awesome.
See, that's
always
it.
Always a party, you know?
There's
wow.
always a party in Natchitoches. Natchitoches likes to celebrate.
This is the best place.
It is beautiful. It's also home to the only national forest in the state, and it's home. It's part of the National Cane River National Heritage Area. There's so much to do with Natchitoches, but Kelly West is also here. She is the media director for the Natchitoches Convention and Visitor Bureau, and she is a very good tour guide. So welcome back, Kelly. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Great. How are y'all?
We're
good.
Doing good, y'all. Y'all, we're
y'all?
Doing great.
Are we behaving?
No. Kelly, what would you like from Priscilla's Little Kitchen? Would you like a taco? Are you going to have a meal?
You know, it's a party.
Yeah?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I have to just warn Adam, since he's a vegan, that Natchitoches is known for meat pies. But we can make him a vegetarian
yep.
empanada or something. Right?
Of course.
That's where the taco comes in good. But yeah, what would you like since it's party time?
Yeah, since it's party time, I'll indulge a little bit, and I will have a yam cake. From French Market.
Oh, you know we love French
eggnog
Market.
Frozen daiquiri.
Ooh,
an eggnog frozen daiquiri.
See,
and that's
here we
it.
Go
so
with the
Priscilla,
daiquiri.
Priscilla doesn't have to make the daiquiri because now we're in Natchitoches, so we're going to go through the drive-thru and get the eggnog daiquiri. And it'll, you know, and you could get it in a 2-gallon jug if you want. You could get it in a cup.
You sure can.
You can
cool.
get it in a jug. It's all good. And the yam cakes, you know, we have to fill up the bus, you know. So the yam cakes, we could get that at French Market Express, and we love that. We love the French Market.
Yum.
They're on the gas station food trail. Because tell everybody, Kelly, you have a gas station food trail. That's amazing.
Yes, and Natchitoches is located in what was known as No Man's Land. An area in between the Louisiana Purchase Territory and Spanish Texas. It was kind of a disputed land, but throughout the seven parishes, because, you know, we have parishes in Louisiana instead of counties, throughout those seven parishes, we now have a gas station food trail because we realized that that's where you eat in these areas. You grab food on the go at the gas stations, and they are amazing.
So good.
Food stops. And so we developed a gas station food trail so you can taste all the delicacies of the gas stations from bakeries like French Market and pastries and things like that to meat pies to tamales to crispitos and, you know, plus burgers and wings and hot dogs and the normal things you can find as well.
They have,
awesome.
You have good Mexican food too. I mean, the fact is you're such a, you know, multicultural destination, it means you have good food. And Adam, there is vegan food, I promise, because
yeah,
you know, we've been
excellent.
There, and there is. You'll be happy, I swear. Now,
yeah.
Miss Arlene, what would you like from little Priscilla? She's dying to get you a drink or something to eat or both.
Well,
she's
going to
make us go on a riverboat, I know.
Maggio's for those 8 miles daiquiris. And those 8 miles daiquiris, I tell you, you can almost, you know, have them for dessert. But I'm going to do an 8 miles daiquiri, and I think that I'd like some crawfish pies. Instead of the meat pies, I think crawfish pies sound good right about now. They got the little mini ones, you know. And so for a party, that would be pretty good.
All right, crawfish. Well, we are in, you know, Louisiana.
She's
crawfish
and mud bug.
No,
that's
crawfish
right.
are different. Right. Are the mud bugs the same thing as the crawfish?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I like the mud bugs. They make
they're
little
cute.
Like sandcastles everywhere you walk. And,
no, they're cute.
You know,
that's right. That's
they're
the
really
houses. They do look like little castles.
Yeah.
Hey, I do want to throw,
interesting.
Throw this out there since we're talking about crawfish and mud bugs. Your state in Natchitoches is one of the best places to go bird watching in the country. I just have to say, since it's International Bird Day.
Yeah.
Kisatchee
yeah.
National Forest.
Yeah.
Is doing a whole bunch to take care of the woodpeckers, and like there's certain areas that like, you're not allowed to go because this is the habitat. Like it's so cool what is going on out there for the woodpeckers, mm-hmm. and there's certain woodpeckers, and I'm going to get the species name wrong, so I don't want to say it, but you guys have like water birds, like herons and egrets, and it is we love the
beautiful.
Swampy.
Yeah,
we
love the
yeah,
swampy.
Yeah, we have a lot of beautiful. Natural habitats for birds and all kind of good stuff in Kisatchee and in other parts of the state as well. But, yep, and you know what? I did see that first thing this morning that today was National Bird Day. So
we
can celebrate and recognize that. So
I filled the bird feeders where we are. So that's, I took care of birds.
I filled my bird feeder this morning, too.
I've got to take care of the birds. It's winter. They need their fuel.
That's right.
So, all right, that's we're going
right.
to get back on the bus. We're going to float over a little bit of the Cane River Lake, because why not? And we're going to go see Dr. Jackie. Dr. Jackie is out in Southern California in Orange County. She is a cardiologist and, Dr. Jackie, I can say it, electrophysiologist, and the author of the best-selling book, Women and Heart Disease, The Real Story, and encourage you to keep up with her at womenandheartdiseasebook.com. So welcome back, Dr. Jackie. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me. Always a good time hanging out with you guys.
Oh, you too. You too. So how are you liking what the food and the drinks? How are we doing on this for our heart health?
I think the food sounds delicious. I've never had a crawfish pie before, and I would love to try some. It actually sounds really good.
Mm. Now, what about the eggnog daiquiris?
Oh, that sounds delicious. A little too rich for my taste, but that really sounds delicious.
Okay, so now we've got to go over to Adam, who's behaving himself this month. Is that something, is that a good thing to do for our heart, is behave for a month?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea to have a dry month. You know,
oh, yeah.
That is definitely really good for your heart. And I like the juices, the juice that he's drinking. It sounds pretty healthy. I think I'd like to try some of that as well.
With vodka.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know. The vodka, the big V keeps moving on in.
I know. So what can Miss Priscilla serve you today, Dr. Jackie?
Well, since it is the holidays and we are celebrating, I will take a glass of champagne.
Ooh, good.
Ooh. You know, we just happened to have some.
Yes, we just happened to have that.
We just happened to have a whole bunch of it. So sounds
I'm
good.
Sure
to,
you
she
do.
Could, now, what would you like to eat?
Well, the tacos sound good. I'd like to nibble up on some of the tacos.
Yeah.
And, of course, try the crawfish meat pie. That also sounds delicious. And I will top that off with maybe a side of Caesar salad. I need to be healthy somehow, so you got to add the salad to it.
See, she's into salads. You know, she's got another book coming out, so
yeah.
She's going to be talking about, you know, healthy diets
salads
and
are
all
good.
That. Salads are part
that's
of
correct.
That, huh?
Yes. That's correct.
Yes.
The Mediterranean diet is a heart-healthy diet that's good for everybody.
Cool.
Well, I just made Nancy and I a big pot of vegetable stew. How about that, everybody? You wouldn't believe
nice.
It. I actually cooked. And it's Adam, it's vegetarian. It's got potatoes.
Yep.
It's got cabbage. It's got, now Nancy, close your ears. It's got leeks. It's got tomatoes. It's got mushrooms. It's got squash. See, this is just, it's really good. It's got turmeric for you. Very good for you. You know, now we're talking about food, though. Our next guest is also an incredible guitarist. And he is a composer, but he's also an incredible chef. And his name is John Durant. And today he is up in Portland, Oregon, Sometimes he's in Boston, but he's shipping himself off to Boston. But welcome back, John Durant. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing very good. Welcome back to the show, and congratulations. Mutual Isolation album out through Burnt Belief, you and Colin Edwin. It's an incredible album. We'll be playing music from it. Awesome. I love it. I've been listening to it all day long. Thank you.
Thanks.
Really good.
I'm really happy with it. It's one of those, you know, when we first started talking, I realized was the last time we did a Burnt Belief album. And that was, 5 years ago now?
Yeah.
So much has happened since. And the fact that the album happened almost accidentally. Colin and I just were working on something else and kind of, the light bulb switched on, and we said, are we doing a new Burnt Belief? I think we are. Let's do it. And
cool.
I couldn't be happier with it. It's an exciting record.
Well, I think we should celebrate. Priscilla is ready. We finally got to meet John.
No, I didn't. I didn't meet her.
We're just terrible parents.
That's because we were.
I think she was hiding.
We quarantined her.
Yeah, we quarantined her during COVID,
except for when
she's in Louisiana, because she's like, I'm going on the riverboat, girls, move over.
Yeah,
and
quarantine her, because everybody
and she
was
wanted to go to the candy
her,
shop.
And we got worried. We got worried about her.
What would you like to eat and drink? I mean, this is going to be hard because you cook and
it's all good because I feel like we're on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
And the bus has come up to Portland, and it's raining and cold, and you know, one of those Portland nights. And so,
well,
I think
all coming in your house now. That's it. We're all coming
we're
in and you're cooking
have,
now. I think you're cooking
right?
now.
So this is going to depend on. All right, so let's start with the cocktail. I'm going to have a Nocino Manhattan.
Okay.
And,
I don't know what that is.
So Nocino is an Italian green walnut liqueur.
Wow.
And as it happens, there's a wonderful Italian restaurant just up the street from me right now that makes it every year. And because I was east for a while, I missed opening night when they release it on Black Friday. So I need to go and get this year's model, so to speak, and get a bottle of that. And so that with some good bourbon, preferably Four Roses single barrel. And and my son, have I told you about this? My son has started making bitters.
Wow.
My older son is doing a PhD in molecular biology, and he was
He's a molecular man.
Yeah, he's into this, you know, science thing, which is brilliant.
Awesome.
But he also loves these, you know, tinkering and food and drink. Both my kids are into that. And he started making bitters, and he made one with star anise and some other flavors.
Ooh.
That is just perfect to go in with the Nocino Manhattan.
That's a talent. Because
it really is
like bitters can be overpowering if you don't do it right. And also
you have to do it right. And
that's cool. You've got the cocktail. What are you doing on food? You're cocktailing it up. I mean, you're a happy, happy boy. Just say
hello.
I guess we have to decide: am I cooking, or are we gonna stop the bus and pick something up?
Well, let Priscilla try and cook for you. So, what would you like her to make you, and then later
we can stop the bus. I was gonna say, because we're in Portland, we could go to one of my favorite food carts and pick up like some, you know, the Roland Fresh cart make these wonderful sushi burritos that are just delightful.
Oh, there we go. Mm-hmm. So we have crawfish pie and then sushi burrito. I've never even thought of a
sushi burrito.
Burrito.
So instead of, yeah, and so instead of a,
I
instead
would be
of
totally
a,
down for some sushi burritos.
Yeah, you know, you wrap it with nori instead of a traditional burrito wrap. It's great. Fantastic
well,
stuff.
There we go. Hey, and can we go to Voodoo Donuts while we're there?
We can go to Voodoo Donuts if you really want to.
Yeah.
I've never been there, but the donuts look good. And Dr. Jackie,
well,
you won't look, will you?
You know what? Actually, this would be perfect because we can bring some of the Louisiana thing because their Voodoo Donut is like, it's like a voodoo doll, right? So it's a donut
cool.
shaped like a voodoo doll, and they have a little pretzel stick that they use to stick into it.
Oh, that's weird.
That's
weird.
Listen, one of the best meals I ever had in my life was in Portland.
What do you mean they stick the pretzel in the doll? What is
No, that's exactly what Nancy will want to do. That's the first thing she's going to want to do is, like, stab things. No, I know you, Nancy. She's, don't think about doing that to Priscilla. Be nice. But listen, the best meal, seriously, one of the best meals in my life was in Portland in a Peruvian restaurant, and we had a martini that was made with, here we go, passion fruit juice, habanero mm-hmm. peppers, and it just had this balance from the spice
and
the
sweet. And it was called the sexy woman.
And
was it?
I don't know.
Am I correct
maybe,
on that?
I don't know, but it was this Peruvian restaurant that we were at a flower expo, a plant expo, doing a radio show, and then they were like, we all went out to dinner, and they had music, live music playing, and I ordered this meal that had avocado, and I think, like, it was couscous or it was a grain, and I do believe it was all vegetarian, Adam. Just give me Adam props here. And it was really one of the best meals because it was so subtle and yet, like, the flavor, it was amazing. But there was, I think it was couscous or, no, quinoa. It was quinoa.
Quinoa.
Yeah. And, oh, my gosh. And what they did with avocado and the quinoa, like, I didn't even think that would happen, but it was good. So, all right, we're on the bus. I know we've got our ladies from Louisiana have to bail in a second. So it's important that we all have a happy hour toast. So let's start with you, John. What are you toasting to? We'll play music as we, you know, go back to Louisiana because we're going to turn the bus around and then we'll go back up. So what are you toasting to?
I am toasting to hopefully – one day we will see the end of this pandemic and get back to something that resembles normal life again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, I hope so.
Toasting towards optimism. How's that?
Mm.
I like that. That's the way to be. And I think you never know. This could be the end of it this year. You never know. You know, we didn't think we'd be in it this long, and we didn't know it'd go beyond a month, you know. But, you know, this could be the year. You never know. So I'm with you on optimism. So let's go to you, Adam. What are you toasting to?
Well, I think given the nature of my work in environmental protection and long-term sustainability and the fact that it's a new year and that we all need to do our part to save the planet, I would toast toward a sustainable 2022, that we all are able to thrive and grow and do so in a measured and sustainable and ecologically friendly fashion.
I like that. I like that. And Dr.
I'm
Jackie,
here,
what
here.
Are you? I'm here. Here. I'm. You know, we've got to. We got to be able to walk in the woods, man. without being swept off my feet. You know, unless it's another way. You know, there's other good sweeping off your feet. That's but I'm just saying. Well, now come on now. You know, hey, it's happy hour. We can say things.
I know. I'm sitting right here. I'm your mother.
I want to go, Dr. Jackie, what are you toasting to?
Well, as a cardiologist and electrophysiologist who aims to educate people about heart disease, because we all know that heart disease is the number one killer of people here in the United States, I'm toasting to a healthy heart for 2022 and for better statistics about heart disease for everybody.
Ah.
Ooh, better statistics. Okay. Wow, I love that. And Dr. Jackie, thank you for everything that you're doing with educating the public, especially women, because women's heart health are two different things and from men. And but we still have to all eat healthy and be healthy. So glad you could join us. Everyone, Dr. Jackie has a new series on Big Blend Radio. You can hear her every third Wednesday. It's Wellness Wednesday when she'll be talking about how to stay healthy, because if you listen to Dr. Jackie, you could reverse heart disease by 80%. Is that right?
That's correct. You can decrease your risk by up to 80% by implementing some simple lifestyle changes.
That's
all
huge.
Right. Okay, huge. Everyone, Dr. Jackie's website is womenandheartdiseasebook.com. Keep up with her there. She's also on social media. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Take care.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New
Happy
Year.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
All right.
Bye-bye.
And we want to go back. Now, we did a detour to, Orange County, California, Irvine, where her offices are. She's got patients showing up now. But we're going to go to Arlene over in Natchitoches. Arlene, what is your toast?
Well, since it's the new year and we have such wonderful people in our lives and friends and family, I'm gonna say my favorite toast: make new friends, but keep the old, for one is silver and the other gold. So tonight we met some new friends here on the show, and we've got some old friends, not in age, but in years that we've known them. But I'm toasting to the people in our lives, to our family and our friends, and to the new year.
Oh, awesome. I love that. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And Arlene, one of the coolest things on the planet, your emails, you always say, keep smiling. And
yeah.
I did. Every time I see an email from you, I smile. I'm like, what are you doing, Arlene? No matter what, you're making me smile. And I want to say to you, thank you for always having that, because it's really true that we can smile, because one smile can change everything.
Yeah.
So I'm smiling at you, girl. Thank you so much. It's been so much fun over the years. We'll see you soon. I'm telling you, we're coming through Natchitoches on our way west. If we're going west, we're going to Texas. We're coming. We're coming. We're coming. And we got to come see your little doggies, That's important. Go see the babies. We'll do that. And so, Kelly, what is your toast?
I think I'll toast to safe travels this year.
Ooh,
so we continue traveling, but in a very safe way, and keep those traveling wishes and dreams alive, and just keep exploring.
Exactly. You can do it healthy. You can mask. You can hike. You can go to the water. Just get some fresh air. And, the tourism industry, I think I was talking about that in the last Parks and Travel. Nancy and I put the editor's block together. It's like we can't let the tourism industry sink. We have to work together and do it right. And as travelers, we need to take some of the brunt. We need to be nicer travelers, patient travelers. We need to understand detours are detours. That's what creates the stories. I'm telling you, everything that goes wrong on our tour has become like the best story ever. So every detour, every craziness that happens, I mean, I just got locked in the hotel room the other day. Seriously, I'm not the hotel room, the bathroom.
In the bathroom. It
in cracked the bathroom.
Me up.
So,
and I couldn't get her out.
No.
I couldn't get her out.
So,
and then
what are you
going to
do?
Said, she goes, I'm sorry, I went home for the night. And we were like,
I'm like, hello.
Hello.
So, but you have to have a sense of humor about that, because at the end of the day, it's a story. So I think in this whole crazy world of what's happened to the tourism world, we all have to work together, and maybe we'll have more adventurous trips and start to connect, other than being the customer who says everything is about me. Let's get a little bit over that. Honestly, I'm just a little bit of a rant.
That would be
so
nice.
Sorry, happy hour. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Yes,
just get down to having a good time, please. So everyone, Natchitoches.com. So Natchitoches is spelled Natchitoches. So it's like Natchitoches. Go to the website. Go on Parks and Travel Magazine. If you go to NationalParkTraveling.com, it's right there on the front cover. You'll see how to find it. Natchitoches is an amazing place. Go see it. And every third Tuesday, we have our Natchitoches travel show. So tune in for that. So thank you, ladies, and happy New Year to you, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank
and
you.
Let's have daiquiris next time we see you.
Yes.
It's going to be important. All right. We'll see you soon. Now, John, before we get to our next segment, are you ready? We're going to play The Month of Moonlight from your new album.
Okay.
Mutual. You know, though, as I was, you know, I have other favorites. Divine Rascal. Are you serious? Like, that's one of the coolest songs.
Yeah.
Perilous Terrain.
Yep.
There's
a lot on there. There's
you know it's because there's tribal stuff in here. It's tribal. Mm.
Well, exactly. I know. It's funny. I almost suggested Divine Rascal just for that reason for you because I know that's your vibe.
He's calling us tribal.
Well, no, because How many times have we discussed this?
Come on.
But I know, but what I love about it is that you have no specific genre. There's definitely jazz roots in this, right? And it's instrumental.
Yes, totally. But
I think we need this, but it feels like this build-up throughout the entire album. You feel the build-up and then the release and the build-up and release. And it's very much... I don't like what we all went through and still going through.
The whole secret of the title, Mutual Isolation, obviously we're playing on what happened, right? The original plan for this album was that Colin and I wrote it and we had said, okay, so what we want to do is we'll do preliminary guide part and then we're all going to get together in a studio in London and record it together live. And obviously that just still can't happen. Right?
Yeah.
So as a result, we ended up doing the whole thing remotely. We're all mutually isolated. And yet somehow we managed to make it feel like we're all playing together. There's so much great interaction between the Colin and myself and then the other players, Vinny Sabatino on drums, Andy Pupato on percussion, and Alexei Sachs on trumpet, who just blew my mind on this album. Absolutely killing.
It's awesome. So let's take a listen. And it's instrumental. It keeps you on your toes, too. That's what's so interesting, how your mind just is like, woo. Because normally you think instrumental, like, okay, I'm going to be meditated and maybe use it to go to sleep. This is not like that. And Adam, I'm going to be interested in hearing your thoughts on this, too, because I remember you like heavy metal, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Okay,
among other things, but yes, indeed.
Okay, so
Adam, it might be worth mentioning the bass player Colin Edwin was in a band most known for progressive rock, but bringing metal elements into it. They were called Porcupine Tree. I don't know if that means anything to you. Yes,
absolutely.
So bass player from them. Okay, there you go.
All right, so here it is. Let's play Month of Moonlight. Take a listen. And everyone, again, you can go to johndurant.rocks, right? That's the website. And go on Bandcamp.
That's correct, yeah.
You're going to buy music online.
Bandcamp.
Go to Bandcamp, especially on Fridays.
Go to Bandcamp, please, yes.
Please, that's where musicians make money. I actually streamed the album on Spotify today. I'm going, please, give John a penny of a penny.
an eighteenth of a penny.
But I have to tell you, Nancy and I just did an interview about Memphis music in Memphis, and I'm excited. There's a hotel that has a listening room. The DJ is all vinyl. There's a listening room where you go into this hotel. There's a lobby that has listening rooms of music all done by vinyl. And you sit in there and you play and they bring you cocktails and you sit in your own living room listening to vinyl. Are you freaking kidding me? Like,
that
just leave me there for a week. Like, I mean, I think we're going back. I do believe we will get vinyl back on where it is. I think it's moving forward. And the more as we travel and pet sit, as you know, we pet sit as we travel now, Adam, I don't know if you know that. That's what happened during COVID.
No.
You know, tourism changed, and we had a lady on the show from Trusted House Sitters, and she was on for summer travel, and we're like, oh, people, you know, they have people come and house sit, and then they go, they get to experience their area, and the other people get to go off and travel. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, you should do it because we're animal people, you know, pets. We miss having animals. We house sit for our friends, and now we pet sit. That's how we've been traveling the last year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
Let me tell you, I want to say was we traveled, John, more people are having actual record players in their house and old school record collections. And I think maybe they're travelers, maybe animal people or music people. It's cool.
It's all related.
So
it's all related.
It's gonna come back, right? I mean, do you think?
Well, we hope. I mean, vinyl is already back. CDs are gone, but it's the notion of music as something you actually want to own. An album, gosh, I hope it comes back, but I'm worried.
Yeah, it's beyond the single thing. Like, here's your single.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's weird. Yeah. All right, here it is, Month of Moonlight. Again, Mutual Isolation by Burnt Belief. Take a listen. everyone. That is Month of Moonlight from the album Mutual Isolation by John Durand and Colin Edwin. And again, that they are Burnt Belief. And you can get it on Bandcamp. You can listen on Spotify if you have to. But you can get it on Bandcamp or go to John Durand. Rocks, excuse me, but I love it. John, I'm going to listen to this on the road because that keeps you moving. Yeah.
It's a really good road album, actually.
It really
is. Funny, the drummer,
the
drummer Vinny was telling me, you know, I think I've mentioned before, he and I have worked together for a very long time. And his day job is actually playing in a wedding band, and they got back to work this fall, and obviously were very, very, very busy for a while. Mm-hmm. And he said he couldn't stop. It was like this was his music for driving to his gigs every night. Mm-hmm. It was
perfect.
It just gave him the total, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it keeps you on your toes. Listening to it, it keeps you on your toes so much.
There's drive. It's alive. It's fun. It's interesting. It's got, you know, different elements throughout. And, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think Adam Roberts is also on the show from Bethesda Green. That you could listen to this on the way back and forth from West Virginia to Bethesda. In fact, it would help me in traffic when you get to D.C. Just saying.
That's great road music. But I have to say, I quite enjoyed that. And I was trying to think about sort of all the influences that I was hearing in there, because there was definitely some, you know, progressive rock, and there was some fusion jazz, and I was hearing, you know, Alan Holdsworth in the guitar. I'm
little
definitely
going to
check out more.
Yeah.
I love Alan. I mean, I knew him pretty well. And I try really hard to not have his influence come through so much, because he's one of those guys who's so unique and distinctive that as soon as you try to play like him, it's like, oh, there's Alan.
Right. Well, then I'm sorry I invoked his name, not realizing trying to avoid that sound. But it did remind me some of his stuff.
Should be mentioned in
Go
the same
Adam.
Breath. Are you kidding?
I was going to say, it's definitely meant as a compliment. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, I got that.
That's awesome. I love this. I'm loving this.
Yeah,
I am. Lisa,
we had talked about this. This is one of the tunes, because you know, when we first started talking, you were like, okay, I've never heard of anybody playing a fretless guitar. And this one, it's all the lead stuff is all the fretless guitar.
I love this. Because you're known for you're the cloud guitarist, and this is not
textural,
the same as your internet.
Textural, ambient things. It's funny. The last several things I've done have been really introspective and, you know, a lot of more quiet ambient things.
That's the waterfront living,
this
man. I'm telling
you. Really nice for me to do something a little more extroverted, you know? I did a couple things in the last
too.
2 years.
I was
playing keyboards too. Yeah. Yeah. But this was really nice to kind of rock out a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can't be quiet all the time. That doesn't work. That's
no,
not
exactly.
valid. You got to have your party time, and you got to have your quiet time. You can't just be one.
That's right.
Yeah.
That would be my
correct.
Mother. this album, Burnt Belief, it's four albums, you know, that you guys have done together, but you have been putting out so much music through the pandemic, and we've also got to talk Ukraine. You've got that connection too, and I can't believe what happened this year. Your singer came to visit.
Ina came to visit, and I was so happy. I mean, you know, it's kind of a long story in that she had for the last few years been working as the artistic director of their national folk ensemble. And she was up for the director's job, and political appointee got it, and she was really upset. The whole ensemble was really upset, and so she left work, and she needed a break. And of all the things, you know, she couldn't fly direct from Ukraine to America,
uh-uh.
and you couldn't fly through Europe, but she could fly through Turkey.
Really?
So that's what we did. We got her to Chicago. I met her in Chicago, and we had a couple of days there, and then brought her to Portland and had a nice couple of weeks. And unfortunately, April couldn't get here because there was a major windstorm back east, and trees came down, damaged the back porch and all kinds of things. Anyway, so she got stuck out there, no power, everything, and so she missed being able to hang with Ina as well. But nevertheless, we had a great time. We did make some new music, obviously, and we're kind of figuring out when that might come out. But it was great to see her. We always
That's
have
special.
Such a good time together.
It's special
because
I feel like
is.
That wouldn't happen. I just think the future between what's going on with Ukraine and Russia and us and everything I don't want to go there, but this was like a very lucky moment of time that you guys had together, and you guys were all over like Oregon. I'm like, yeah, she's here. This is so cool. She's got an incredible voice, and you've got a great album with her. Tell everyone on that real quick, and then I want to talk to Adam about this weather thing. I got to talk sustainability. I know Nancy wants to too.
There's one or two things to discuss about the weather, aren't there? So our album, Edwin Durant Compton. So it's Colin, Edwin, and I again, and with Ina singing. And what she does is she sings like a traditional Ukrainian folk song, hundreds of years old, thousand year old in some cases. And we have no idea what it is. We don't speak Ukrainian. Colin and I are just, you know, we just get this melody. She sings a melody, and we then have to build a song around it. And then it goes back to her, and she flushes out the vocals with harmonies, and in some cases came back with a completely different song based on what we had done. So it was a fascinating project, and
I
love it. And you know, it's really a funny
it's
thing.
Tribal.
A lot of people I've noticed in America don't understand. You know, they can't quite grasp the idea of, oh, I don't know what these lyrics are, so I'm just thrown for a loop. But to me, I mean, that was why I loved the Cocteau Twins and why I loved Sigur Rós.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you're not worrying about what the words are actually saying. You're just responding to the melodies and the harmonies and, you know, those kinds of things. And I think that's a much more interesting.
That's interesting you say that. I mean, Nancy, Adam, you know, all of us have traveled, and John, you've traveled as well. And, you know, when you're in a different country and you listen to music, like in Africa, right, you don't know what they're saying, but you can feel if it's up or down.
Oh,
you know if it's positive, if it's about love, you can feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You tell
feel
what's
it.
Going on.
Yeah.
And besides, it's
Absolutely.
Fun to make up your own scenario anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
You know?
That's
yeah,
why I
it
like
is.
Instrumental music so much.
Yeah.
Right?
Ah,
you have a wide open
it.
Canvas, right?
Exactly.
Well, like,
and
Month of Moonlight took me back to the very beginning of the pandemic when Nancy and I were driving. We went to see our friend Jerry, and she'll be on the show soon, Jerry Hagman. She owns Homestead Inn, and she's pretty much retiring and selling it and everything, but she's my grandma. I call her my grandma. And we connected in a crazy way. She chased us down, literally. We did some marketing pieces in the magazine and everything for Julian in the mountain towns where we lived in San Diego, and then moved because of Jerry. We went through all these fires, wildfires, and we had to leave because like so many homes were burned down, and kids needed to be in their school system, and we can work anywhere as we now can prove. And so she's like, you need to come here. And she wanted us to promote. She's outside of Joshua Tree. She's in 29 Palms.
Mm.
And Adam, you were on shows when we were in 29 Palms. I'm just thinking, like, that's how far back it was. And so,
yeah.
I mean, you could see Joshua Tree National Park from our window, our front window.
Yeah, so cool.
And
nice.
Jerry's the one who got us there and got us to start, you know, covering the town. And then we ended up moving there. Who knew? And so we went to go see her, and she's like, girls, we need to have 3 weeks. You need to book 3 weeks. We're like, well, I don't know. We have to get up to the Sequoias. We have all this we have to do. And then the pandemic happened while we were there. And we ended up being there 3 months because it was just so crazy, and everything was falling apart. Tourism offices were closed, and I'm telling people, come on shows. Talk about the history. Talk about this, you know. But she put up with us for 3 months.
And
she wants us
easy.
To come back. She wants us to come back home too. But you know, she's like our grandma. But while we were there, we were photographing because you know she's selling her inn, which is now really long-term residential, like long-term stays for military because of 29 Palms is like huge in military. And the moon would come out, and it was really weird to be there. When you had lived there, literally around, you could walk to our house from there, where we used to live. And so it was like this whole weird full circle moment being there. And, you know, you wake up in the morning. It's one of the places you recognize where you know by the birds. You know, you get up at 4 in the morning because of the sun. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I love that about there. You are up at 4. And you just, there's nothing like it. And while we were there, we had these intense moons coming through, and I photographed and was photographing over the palm tree and the fountain and doing all this weird, crazy, weird experimental stuff. And so listening to that kind of felt like not like over chilling out in the moonlight. It was this run, get it over here before it moves.
Right.
Exactly how it felt like for me.
The thing about photography is so much of it is you have to get it before it goes away. When the light is what it's supposed to be, you have that moment and you've got to get it.
Yeah, it's got to move fast. Adam, how are you at the beginning of all of this? What was your situation like? I know you said Bethesda Green, everybody, and you're still like being diligent about. No one's getting COVID, right? You're going to all hunker down as best you can.
Yeah, touch wood. We've had zero cases in my office, but I think we're just all hyper vigilant about, you know, staying secure and getting vaccinated and boosted and wearing masks and all the rest. But you know, it was very interesting to me. You know, one of the big benefits of a group like Bethesda Green is that we're able to be kind of a convener for the community. You know, we get people out to do things together, whether it's, you know, pulling weeds in the neighborhood so we don't have to use pesticides, or hearing from the new companies that are going through our incubator and accelerator programs and coming up with these exciting green sustainability driven solutions to complex environmental problems. And so going from this community convening spot, organization, cohesive instigator for the community in a positive way, to everyone being disparate and being on a computer screen was a really interesting challenge. But what I found is, for as much as we've lost in terms of the physical connectivity of being with each other in those moments, we're actually able to potentially reach more people, because people who wouldn't have otherwise been able to, you know, leave work early or leave their family in the evening to come to one of our events or come to one of our volunteer opportunity days, now can just sit at their computer in a lunch break or, you know, right after work or whatever and join in and participate. And you have that same sort of visual connection. So I think there are some benefits to all of this. And the thing I remember most about when the pandemic first came on full and everyone was in that situation, you know, everyone was home, people were working remote, everyone was hunkered down, was just how much different the world looked. right? There were all these stories of mountains in Nepal that could be seen from the first time because the pollution had lifted. And I know I felt that way. You know, I would go for a run in Washington, D.C., and it was so much less congested. And obviously, you know, huge negatives to everything we've had to endure through this. But it is a healthy reminder of our need to rethink the way we live and the way we work and the way we look at our lives in the future, and finding that happy medium between socializing, being engaged, being out, contributing to the economic development of the country, while also respecting the needs of the environment, protecting the climate, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, et cetera. You know, I'm hoping that we're able to focus on that balance going forward.
You're here.
Exactly.
I love that.
I know. Yeah. I think Nancy and I, when we were traveling, we finally, you know, got to leave and get back on the road, and it was scary. And people yell at people if they didn't wear a mask, like, you are, I was like, can everybody just calm the hell down? Like, you know, if you go in the store and cough, everybody freaks out, you know. And still that happens today. And then if someone's in my way, I'll cough. I'm wearing a mask. No one there's it was really interesting traveling. Nancy and I were very, very lucky to continue our travel, and we did change. We started pet sitting because that was our way of quarantining and also letting people still travel, and we were with animals. Are you kidding me? We got two cats running around right here, Joker and Gotham, like being brats, you know. They're the brats. But it's like our hearts are so happy, so we are kind of like this balanced environment, you know. And people are traveling, and you have this immersive experience, and you're seeing how we're seeing how communities are handling things. And we're traveling on roads that are not full. And John, I think you probably experienced that too, where it's like when you're going, you got stuck, though, like for a while. You just stayed in Portland, right? Isn't that kind of what happened to you? Because everything was so quiet, and roads, like we went to parks when no one was there and just had these, like they're like, oh, it's closed, but there's no facility. Like it's open, but there's no facilities. So we've learned how to pee when to pee on the road. Let me just put it that way. Because when you go to parks, they're closed. You know what I mean? So you don't want to do anything in there. But, I mean, we saw things, the roads, like, pull onto were covered with grass, where normally it's asphalt or tarmac, as I call it. And so we saw all these things and more wildlife and flowers. And it was like it really happened, and we were out there doing it. And traveling, we did a lot of car camping because it was like you don't want to go in a hotel at this point. And it was car camping, pet sitting, and bed and breakfast because they were very diligent and also want to support bed and breakfast because this is a mom and pop business. And they were very diligent. And we stayed, Adam, you would love this, Tiffany's Bed and Breakfast in Arkansas. We've been communicating for months, and they're like, we're not allowed in. No one's allowed in Arkansas yet. Finally, they were. And we got to Tiffany's Bed and Breakfast on 60 acres of reclaimed forest that once was this historic mining place, right? They are in Bismarck. It's outside of Hot Springs called Bismarck. Well, the town is their part of their property, and there is no Bismarck other than them and a gas station and a food thingy in there, just like we're talking about Louisiana, which happens to make really good pizza. And then you have Lake de Grey, and they had bald eagles. Remember that, Nancy, our picnic with bald eagles?
Yeah.
Do you remember
awesome.
Sitting on the front porch at Tiffany's Bed and Breakfast where the innkeepers, Bob and Tiffany, were really cool. By the way, it has the same sense of music that both of you would love. And we watched barred owls teaching their young how to hunt.
How to fly. How to hunt and how
hunt.
To fly.
And fireflies would come up. Every time the young owl would dip down, fireflies would jump up from the grass. Like, seriously. So we there's
awesome.
These places. I mean, it was just really, everything changed. So I don't know. I'm looking at this. As we travel, we're seeing how people are changing their lives, their personal lives, where they're not in the office as much. They're half and half. So, Adam, are you thinking that we may be getting to some kind of sustainable balance where we're seeing people grow gardens more than they did before? They're looking at, hey, I've bought in this house, I have this land. and I haven't really cared much about it until now, and now I'm doing veggie gardens and may start composting where before I didn't have time. Do you see, like, maybe as people change, I know people are starting businesses now instead of working for people, there's a shift. Are you seeing this as being, in a way, a good thing that COVID came out that kind of brought us to our senses?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think, as I said before, it's changing the way we look at our lives and therefore the world. And, you know, I keep using the word sustainability, which is obviously core to my own work and my own beliefs. But I think resiliency is the other word. You know, we need to focus on having a climate that is resilient and an environment that's resilient. And I think, you know, all of the things that you've been describing are centered around resiliency, how businesses can be more resilient, how people who are traveling can be resilient. You know, we have to sort of change the way we do these things that are important to us in order to be able to keep doing them. And you know, the thing you mentioned about people starting new businesses, you know, there's all this talk in economic circles and political circles about this great resignation, right? All of these people who are quitting their jobs. And oftentimes when people talk about that, they talk about it in terms of people see that there is, you know, more money in unemployment insurance, so they figure, why bother working? That's not really what it's about. It's about reclaiming their lives and saying, I don't have to do this job that I was doing because I had no other options, because now I have options to start my own business. I have options to embolden my creativity. And that, I think, comes back to that concept of resiliency, that people are seeing that they can live more resilient and exciting lives. And so it's just forcing us to change the way we operate holistically. And I think that could be good long term. Obviously, time will tell. But I hope it is. I really do.
I hope so. I think, you know, it's hard for the change to happen, but I also look at what's going on, like the climate change plans. I mean, at least we're back there, right? At least, God, we're at least back in the whole agreement in some way. I don't think the whole climate plan came out the way we all wanted it to. I think it was shortchanged a bit, but at least it's still there, right? But I think I'm wondering if we're going to have a lighter footprint by people changing. I wonder if that's going to happen. Right now, it doesn't feel like it because now we have traffic, and Nancy and I go, what the hell just happened?
But, no, but we're going to – eventually, I mean, we're going to have to, because if we don't, our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren will really suffer. And some people care about their relatives, and others probably don't. I don't know, you know. But – We do now know, there's evidence, we do know that we make a massive difference to this planet in good ways and also in bad ways. So it's a responsibility to fix what we're doing that is wrong. And we can. It's not like there's no solutions. So it really is change your lifestyle.
Right.
And maybe we're not at home, we will. Maybe being at home, we will. We can use a coffee cup instead of a Starbucks cup, you know? Just those little things.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead.
Sorry. I think it's also about people make changes when things hit close to home, right? So when you're stuck at home because you can't go to work, you rethink.
Yeah, I think there is something about
and
it.
Then get COVID and get sick, then they start to rethink whether they should have gotten the vaccine, right? And it's the same with the environment. You know, people talk climate change not being an issue until you have these intensifying snowstorms, these intensifying hurricanes, intensifying forest fires.
Tornadoes,
you know,
that aren't supposed to happen this time of year.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. We're seeing all of these intense weather events, and it just, at some point, that's sweeping across the country, right? From coast to coast across the country, you have all of these different intensifying weather events, and my hope is that people start to say, geez, it's real. It's happening, because I can see it in my own neighborhood.
Yeah.
Mm. It's huge because I think, I mean, it's happening. Nancy and I are seeing it. We've had to dodge tornadoes driven through, like, we've managed to sideswipe everything. Like, we've managed. We've been in hurricane. I mean, how many tornado warnings and hurricanes? We've managed to go through hurricanes, picked up things that were stuck to the car. I mean, we've been through a lot of interesting things. And, you know, during COVID, even publishing the magazines, you know, and we're expanding. Now we have 8, and we're in the middle of doing that whole changeover. As we're traveling, here it is. Let's put out this magazine. Okay, this affected this community because of COVID. Oh, wait, now we got to stop the presses, the digital presses, because this wildfire has just hit. Or this hurricane. I mean, it hasn't been a year of just or two of COVID. These catastrophic events are happening, and we've got to somehow get to it. And people being close to home, I feel like we're getting back to the old days of we used to have a farm in the backyard, our own garden. We used to do work at the front of the house, and people would come into the parlor and do business. And I'm kind of digging that. I mean, John, isn't that how you work as a musician? I mean, you've got your music room at home. I mean, come on. It's like, listen to musicians know it. They just want to roll downstairs and do their thing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's true. And I mean, it's amazing to me that we can do the things that we can do. You know, thinking back to when I was getting started as a musician, the very idea that I can do something, send it off, you know, and an hour later, Colin can get back to me from England, you know, with another part. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. And it is, it allowed me to literally just stay put for a year, you know?
Wow.
It also means we don't have live music. And that's a difference. Set of circumstances, and unfortunately, you know, we keep thinking, oh, this is coming up, and that's coming up, and you know, I there's another record that I'm working on with Stefan Thelen that I was hoping maybe March, April timeframe I might go over to Switzerland to mix.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Stefan is awesome too.
Mm. Oh, he's amazing. He's amazing.
He really is.
You know. But yeah, so I mean, it's, you know, there's upsides and downsides, but it really it is nice to be, you know, I've been even before, you know, when I was working for a living at Lexicon, I started 2 days a week working from home. This was in about 1994. People didn't do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know, I was my commute was over an hour on a good day, you know, 3 hours on a bad day, and it's like, this is crazy. Let me just work from home. A, I was more productive, and B, you know, I'm not sitting in traffic for 3 to 5 hours on a given day. So
that's
great for the environment.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember
Nancy, me having that conversation with a certain business coach years ago, business consultant who was in the magazine, I mean, the beginning, and Twitter happened. And I didn't do Facebook, and I was like, screw Facebook, and I don't want to get started on it since I got hacked and kicked off during a tornado. As we were driving through a tornado and into a hurricane, I got hacked and couldn't fix myself in a rest area. But there it is. So I had to start all over again. But Twitter happened, and I was connecting with people and doing things and realizing, and once we stopped printing the magazine, Nancy said, pull the plug on the printing. And I think, Adam, we didn't know you during our printing days. I think it was just at that switchover that when we went into the radio, we were starting to interview people around the world, and we're like, why are we Southwest Blend? We went from, you know, being San Diego to Southwest. We're like, screw it, let's be everywhere because we can. And we did. And at that point, it changed my way of working because I traveled the Southwest, you know, delivering magazines. You know, we had them inserted in newspapers, you know, like Beverly Hills, you know, Vegas, you know, Santa Monica, all those good places. And then Nancy was like, we have more people on our website than what we can print. We were printing 170,000 copies of print every quarter. And they were being inserted into, you know, newspapers and, you know, shipped off to visitor bureaus. I mean, it was like
a
huge
really
operation.
Expensive.
And it's us.
It's
doing
really
this.
Expensive.
The expense was huge. And we are always about helping the small business, helping the smaller communities have the sustainable tourism. Like, it was like getting insane. We had good printers and stole the printer, stole one of our friends, and he's now in real estate. But they were all soy-based ink. You know, we were all trying. And then Nancy just like, listen, we've got over 1 million people a month on our website. Get the hell over it. I'm like, but I want my own printing press. Get over it.
No.
We need to go this way. And we did. Then Twitter happened, and then the radio thing happened. And suddenly, I wasn't burned out driving across the Southwest delivering magazines. Literally, if you guys could see my routes and what I was doing, and it was insanity, but it was what happened. And Nancy was right. Digital, and we could hold meetings with people anywhere around the world. I mean, Adam, you've been on our show from everywhere. You proved it.
Exactly. That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So you can. We still want to meet in person. We still do. I think it's important. I think the things like Zoom, like we do our majority of our shows now, 99% now, are pre-recorded, and we get to connect with people on Zoom so we can see each other, and our audience can see them if they want to, see us, whatever. But there was that personal component, and we saw that years ago, and people weren't ready for it, and we didn't want to train everybody on how to do Zoom, but everybody knows Zoom now because of the COVID thing.
Yeah.
But you have that, but it's still not replacing in-person. There's just something hugely different. But I think we can create a balance with that, and that's what we should look at, is that balance. And things become more special, and we take moments more seriously and acknowledge them. When you see your friends and family, put the phone down and stop texting and actually be there, period.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I think we've got – maybe this whole thing is a big shake-up and wake-up, you know, and –
Well, it's
maybe
a reminder that we're mortal, you know. Mm.
I thought I was immortal.
Oh, dude.
I'm just kidding. I believe we go into other places, but whatever. We won't get woo-woo. But, I mean, hopefully we will. I'm just in the happy hour spirit. I think we're in a scary place, but we're also in a place where we can make absolute positive change, and maybe all of these changes and these settlings, you know, where we've had reflective moments, can make positive change. So that's all I have to say. I hope we do. So
agreed.
We're going to close with some music. It's Rosso Portofino. Why can't we have the Portofino? Our wine bag. John?
So, but it's not wine. It's actually a color. It's a color, and it's a color very specific to a car. And I'm sorry, it's not a very environmentally correct car either. It's a Ferrari.
Here we go.
It's a new color for a new Ferrari that just came out last year, and it is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. And so I named the song after it because why, you know, it's instrumental music. I can call it what I want.
There you go. Well, that's cool. That's cool. So I want to ask you before we go, number one, Nancy and I, we haven't done our toast. We have to do our toast. But John, being on the river and you're in Portland, you've got Willamette Valley, you know, there, bird watching. Do you see birds on the river where you are?
I do. In fact, what's great is, you know, I'm right under a bridge, and we have owls that live under the bridge. We have we have a peregrine falcon that lives under the bridge. We've got all kinds of smaller birds. So I'm actually in an amazing place for that. And actually, There was fall, I think it was October 2020. I was just sitting listening to some music downstairs, and I heard this commotion out on my back patio, and looked out, and there was an owl that was then that attached itself to my screen. Its screen door just, you know, staring at me going, it looks cool in there and I like the music you're playing. Can we, like, hang?
No
amazing.
Way.
The thing was huge.
Yeah.
And I managed to get a photo of it. I mean, it's a little blurry, but it was there for long enough for me to get my phone out of my pocket and take a picture.
Cool. So, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. We want to
very
do
cool.
Yeah,
it
but
is,
we were...
It's very cool. We have a really nice group of folks, all the townhomes here, that one of the ways we kept ourselves sane was having socially distant happy hours. So we would all sit on our patios and you know, have happy hour together and talk and chat. And it's outdoors. It's, you know, we're all good distance from one another. And it's great because everybody's really enthusiastic about the wildlife here. And so we have it was great, really wonderful group that, you know, we call the Falcon Perry. And, there was a kid who was climbing on the bridge, where you're not supposed to climb, and, the Falcon attacked him and we were psyched. Go get him.
Wow. Well, you know, I think when we saw you, we had just gone through the ordeal of the baby blue jay because we were in Albany, Oregon on a pet sit, and we were just, you know, we sit, we work and play with the cats. And the cat got the blue jay, the baby blue jay, because it was spring. And there was, like, no way this blue jay had a place to go without another cat getting it. And we ended up at Chintimony. I just had to look it up. Chintimony Wildlife Center, and drove it off there. And they're in Corvallis, which is outside Albany in Oregon. And they took such good care. They took him. And we ended up doing an interview with them and having this whole thing. And they were talking about spring, you know. I was like, "Well, do you have our little blue jay?" And she's like, "Honestly, your blue jay is in with 60 others, you know.
Yeah,
we're not going to know them all, you know. Sorry, but you know,
right.
They turned out to be this amazing organization, and that, I mean, the wildlife, the Pacific Northwest is incredible. With the, I mean, we can't wait. We're going to be back up there. We're on our way in February. We'll be up there in Anacortes, Washington, and we'll be all over. So, John, we'll have to have a beer with you. We'll see you soon, probably,
we'll have
if we
to
drive
connect,
through.
For sure.
We will. But the birding thing is amazing, and the owls just kind of take your – we were just somewhere, Nancy, where we were hearing – well, here there's an owl, right?
There's
where,
an owl back
hearing.
Here, yes.
Yeah, there's owls. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adam, with you out there in the woods, you've got to have, like, the woodpeckers and the owls and – everything going on. It's bird day. We have to say something for the birds.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And you hit on two of my favorites. You know, every time it's nighttime and I see an owl come down from, it's just experience. And then we have plenty of woodpeckers around the property here. And, you know, I could just sit and watch them and listen to them all day. It's really magical stuff. So I'm glad you highlighted that.
Yeah,
we saw that woodpecker, the really big, the
pileated.
Yeah, we saw those the other day, and we're like, whoa, they're big. Wow, look at
they're
that.
Massive.
They're
absolutely.
Amazing.
We saw them in Gettysburg. We saw one in Gettysburg. We went to Gettysburg last year, and it was like a zoo. And here we are in the middle of COVID, and it was a zoo. Like, literally so many people there doing family history, too. But there was just so many people, and some of them were just kind of stepping on. I'm like, no.
I'm not going to say anything.
I know. And Nancy and I just got overwhelmed because it was also very overwhelming to be there. The history of Gettysburg is so deep and so brutal. Like, literally, our bodies were like, okay, we need to sit down. We went out into the picnic area. And, of course, had a picnic and a glass of wine. Sorry, park rangers. And we watched this huge pileated
woodpecker bouncing on the floor. And we're like, is that a woodpecker? Why is he on the floor? And he was hanging out on the ground going after things. And that was our best experience in Gettysburg. Gettysburg was huge and amazing and so much history. And but we needed that zone. We needed that, like, and then we're going, like, what was it like in being a soldier and here are these woodpeckers? So then we're, like, thinking about what was the wildlife doing while us humans were creating all these wars and blowing stuff up? Sorry. All right. On that note, Nancy, what's your happy hour toast? Just saying. Save the woodpecker.
Well, again, I will toast to Mother Nature and hope she calms down. I think she's a little irate, and I think we play a big part in that. So I toast to anybody who helps Mommy Nature calm down so that we stop polluting and doing all the things that we're doing that are really making her angry. Then maybe we won't have tornadoes in the wrong places at the wrong times. You know what I mean?
I give kudos, you know, just to what Adam's doing with Bethesda Green, because you're hitting the business and the local community. And I think you don't have a thriving community without those two being together. And is going to be a local level to make things change. So I'm going to toast to local community spirit of the business and the people working together to make things right. Because if people are not happy in your community, your business will not thrive. And if your business is not going to thrive, well, the people aren't going to be happy. So you got to work together. So I toast to that connection. And I toast to new music. And so we're going to close off with Rosso Portovino and the beautiful color of a Ferrari. So here it is. Thank you both for joining us. Everyone, again, BethesdaGreen.org is the website to go for what Adam is doing over in Bethesda, Maryland. And also keep up with John Durant. Go to Bandcamp, John Durant. It's John without an H, because most Johns we know want to kick out their H's. What is that? But that's what it is. But go to Bandcamp and also johndurant.rocks as well. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Good to talk to you again.
Always happy.
Thank you.
Have
Thanks,
a great
John.
And Happy New Year. Yes.
Happy New Year to everybody. Here it is, Rosso Portovino. Keep up with us at BigBlendRadio.com. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, everyone. Take care.